And we're live. That's weird. Hello and welcome to the First Time Watchers podcast.
Because we like to watch.
Still weird. Today's episode is actually Timless, so with me are...
Romano Da Silva.
And this is Walter Vinci. Tim is on vacation, as you can see by my frantic gesturing where he would normally sit next to us as we record. His chair is empty. He's on a vacation. He will be back at the end of the week, and we will have him for our next movie, which is going to be The Expendables Part 2. This is the First Time Watchers podcast. Tim usually has the script for the opening of the show. Basically, the rundown is, if you listen to us before, you already know what we do. And if you don't, we are three friends who get together, sit down, and watch movies we haven't seen together, and then discuss. They could be new, they could be old, they could be on our list of shame. Today's movies is actually a First Time Rewatch episode, where we're going to be reviewing Rad from 1986 and Gleaming the Cube from 1988. But first, we have Yay or Nay. Yay! Yay or Nay, this is where we talk about a movie we have seen recently and whether or not you might like it yourself. And so I kick it over to Romano.
Okay, I actually got two things. First one is a show on AMC called Hell on Wheels. I believe they're currently in their second season. I'm early in. I've only seen the first episode so far, and I like it so far.
What's it about?
What's it about? It's basically it's a Western. It takes place shortly after Abraham Lincoln has been assassinated and the Civil War has just come to an end. And basically it's about this guy, and it's pretty much, it starts off and it's kind of like a revenge story where you're not given a lot of backstory on the guy. He just shows up, he kills a couple of dudes, and slowly the story starts to unravel where his wife has been killed, and he's looking pretty much for the guy who did it. I don't know the main guy. I'm not familiar with his work, but...
What's his name?
His name is that guy right there.
All right, so...
Anson Mount.
What's he been in?
Cullen Bohannon.
Let's see, what else has Anson Mount been in? You may know him from... let's see.
Ooh, a movie called Intimates.
He was in Safe, which has Jason Statham in it. Straw Dogs, the remake. Dollhouse, the TV series.
Yeah, not a lot of stuff I'd be familiar with.
Looks like he had a bit part in Law & Order. Doesn't look like he's had much to do other than like these small roles.
Yeah, but he's been on Lost. Holy crap.
Hey, is one episode on Lost?
One episode, I wouldn't remember. But anyways, regardless, show's not bad. I mean, he plays like this, you know, pretty much like any other Western. He plays kind of like a quiet, doesn't say much guy. Some of the other actors in it are, I don't know his name now. Oh, Common is in it. Cole Meany.
You may know as O'Brien from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes. And
he's also in Titanic.
Yep. And Common, who's a rapper. I recommend the show. I mean, if for anybody that's a fan of Westerns, it's pretty... I mean, they're not bringing that much new to the table. I mean, I'm only one episode in, but I mean, I think I'm going to continue to watch, and it's, you know, as long as it stays good, you know, I'll continue to watch, and I recommend it for now. Yay.
Sounds like a yay. And what else have you seen?
Okay, now I got a movie that I don't know what prompted me to watch this. It was just one of the new movies that was released on HBO, and it's The Change-Up, which... came out last year and stars Jason Bateman, Ryan Reynolds, Olivia Wilde. And this movie was pretty terrible. they took a formula that's been rehashed so many times, and I can't believe that they tried it again. I mean, there were movies like along the lines of Freaky Friday and... I forget the one now with Fred Savage and Judge Reinhold from the 80s. And I think there was another one with, like, Kirk Cameron and, like, somebody else. And it's ridiculous. It's pretty much like a buddy swap movie. Like, they switch bodies and, you know, they live each other's lives for a specific amount of time. And, you know, hilarity ensues. And by the end of the movie, they both learn something about each other. And, like, oh, I want my life back, blah, blah, blah. It's fucking terrible. It brings nothing new. It wasn't even funny. Like, I really don't see, like, this is the epitome of, like, Hollywood, like, what the fuck are you thinking? Like, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. It's a definite nay. It's completely terrible. There's nothing redeeming about it. I'd say stay away.
It's got a 6.4 rating out of 10 from 60,105 viewers on IMDb. I avoided this movie like the plague when it came out because mainly because it does look dumb. And second off, you have two characters who look they kind of how can you tell like when they switch personalities? Like they don't really seem to in the trailer. They don't seem to really act any different in the trailer.
It's ridiculous. I mean, this time they did it with like two grown-ups, where before it was usually like a kid switching places with a parent or an adult. Or, I mean that was kind of like a better, like, film thing, like convention or whatever. Like it just, like a kid trying to act like an adult, or an adult trying to act like a kid to try to get through the this problem they're both in. And this one is just. Ryan Reynolds swears a lot. Jason Bateman's a straight man, pretty much. And basically, when
That seems to be the only thing that switches
pretty much like one of
the
them all of a sudden swears more than the other, and like the other one, was like the straight man. He's not the ladies' man anymore. It's really dumb. I can't say enough bad things about it. Just stay
Yeah,
away.
so that's a nay on the change-up.
A nay.
I myself have been rather busy with work, so I have not seen any movies to do a yay or nay. So this moves into our next segment, which is Trailer Hitches. This is where we take a trailer that we may have seen recently, and we talk about whether or not that actually piques our interest enough to want to see the movie. I'll start this one off. I actually just saw this trailer not too long ago, and by not too long ago, I mean about 5 minutes ago before we started the show. Nicolas Cage in Stolen, directed by Simon West. It stars Nicolas Cage, Malin Ackerman, and Josh Lucas. And the IMDb plot summary is a former thief frantically searches for his missing daughter, who has been kidnapped and locked in the trunk of a taxi. Now, I saw this trailer, and it looks very Nicolas Cagey, down to the fact that I think this movie would be way awesomer if Nicolas Cage was playing both the good guy and the villain, because the villain has that Nicolas Cage look to him. Like, if you've seen Next, or what was the other one?
Knowing.
Knowing, where he's got that weird long, like, kind
Yeah.
of balding hairstyle. Like, the guy looks. I thought it was Nicolas Cage playing Rolls-Royce at first when I saw this trailer.
Yeah.
So, and it looks like the bad guy's only got one leg at some point. And the trailer, it actually has a voiceover on it,
Yeah.
which Hermano had pointed out to me actually as we were watching the trailer. And he's like, when was the last time you heard a trailer with, like, in a world? And it's been a while since I've heard one of those. But it actually has piqued my interest enough to actually say, I'm going to hitch my wagon to this.
Holy
Because of Nick
crap.
Cage, and because of the fact that the bad guy only has one leg, and could also be Nick Cage. So this actually has got my curiosity enough to actually want to go see this movie. So I'm gonna hitch my trailer to Stolen. Hermano, what about you?
Wow. Okay, I'm still trying to recover from that. I watched the trailer for a movie called The Last Stand, which stars Arnold Schwarzenegger. Basically, the only thing that has me interested in this movie is the director,
Who is?
Kim Ji-woon,
Who
or
did?
who did my favorite movie from last year. I saw The Devil, as well as The Good, the Bad, the Weird, and he also did A Tale of Two Sisters going way back. But I think it actually looks pretty good. I think Arnold sticks out quite a bit. I mean, he looks really old in this movie. I don't know if they aged him up a little bit, or that's actually his actual just appearance, but he looks like he's aged quite a bit since he's been the governor or whatever. But basically, the movie is about it looks like it's about a drug cartel that is being chased by the police across a state or whatever, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is the sheriff of a town, which I guess is the last stop before crossing the border to, I believe, Mexico. So basically, the people that are chasing this cartel radio ahead to Arnold Schwarzenegger and tell him that they think this cartel is going to be coming to his town, and that they should prepare, to maybe potentially try to stop him. And basically, that's the story. I mean, that's what you get in the trailer. And I'm mostly interested because of the director. I loved I Saw the Devil. I don't think this movie is going to be anything like that. But and plus, it's his first American. He's mostly done. I mean, first American Hollywood film. He's mostly done Korean films. He's from Korea. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely hitching to this one.
The poster actually has kind of got my attention. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger looks kind of grizzled old sheriff in this poster if you haven't seen it yet. But for whatever reason, I think I have the typography on this thing, but doesn't it make him look kind of squat? Like, a little bit?
Maybe.
Like, it kind of like, I don't know, maybe it's the way the
I
photo
think he's
is or
just
the.
hunched over because he's old. But
But,
I mean,
the poster is actually pretty cool looking.
I fully expect, like, at some point in this movie, for him to say, "I'm too old for this shit," like 1,000 times.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It
All
just
right.
looks like that type of movie. But yeah, I'm hitching to that one.
Awesome. All right, so that brings us to our next segment, which is a first-time rewatch. We're going to go chronologically on this one, starting with Rad from 1986. And the IMDb plot summary is as follows. The story of one young man, Crew Jones, who has the intensity and desire to win a BMX race called Hell Track.
That's basically it. I mean, straight
Is.
into the point.
Has no one that I recognized other than
Lori Loughlin.
Lori Loughlin, who you would know as Uncle Jesse's wife from Full
Full
House.
House.
And there was one other woman that I found there that I also recognize.
Ray Walston. You
Ray
remember him?
Walston from My Favorite Martian.
He's also
And.
from he's Mr. Hand in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
And
Oh,
let's see.
Talia Shire, of
And
course,
Talia
too.
Shire, who you also may know from
You know, Rocky. She
Rocky,
was in
I Heart
Godfather.
Huckabees, Kiss the Bride.
Yeah.
So, a couple of people who were in there before they became names. And, well, let's see. How are we going to start this one off? It starts off with a montage as Break the Ice plays,
A
a
long
really long
montage,
montage.
like 5 minutes of like guys just doing
The
BMX bike
same
tricks.
trick over and over again.
Yep,
It's
and the
like
movie ends the same exact
the
way, so
same way
they bookend it
it
with montages.
montages, but the montages of people who aren't even in the movie,
Yeah, it's like actual
like
professional bike
pro
riders, I guess.
BMXers.
Now, you watched this when you
Way
were,
back when I was a kid,
yeah, same here, and like, did you have fond memories or?
I remember. I for some reason I thought I thought the pipe was gonna play a role into it. Like someone's gonna have to go. At the very beginning, during that montage, there's someone
Oh, they
there in a
have one
big
of those
cement pipe.
construction pipes,
I'm
yep.
thinking like, did this pipe play into like the movie later on? And that doesn't.
It's just part of the
It's just part
montage.
of the opening montage. It is directed by Hal Needham and written by Sam Bernard and Jeffrey Edwards.
Hal Needham, I think, has done one other movie of note.
Let's see. Hal Needham has also done. Let's see. I'm gonna look him up right now. He's known for Little Big Man, Have Gun, Will Travel, The French Connection. Really?
I don't think he was the director on
Oh, hold
that.
on.
Oh, he was director of Smokey and the Bandit, maybe?
I see. Let's see. Street Luge is a short. He was director of Cannonball Run 2,
And the first one.
and the first one, Smokey and the Bandit 2, and the original Smokey and the Bandit. So he actually has some kind of chops, director-wise, for himself, which is interesting considering, what Rad actually is. The movie has some pretty slow pacing to it. You have a lead character named Crew, spelled CRU, and a sister. What was his sister's name? His sister's name is Wesley. So, and it's a single mom. So I'm like, what the? What is she like? Got a spinal and then decided to name the kids? Like, was it the dad who named the kids? Because he's mentioned several times in the movie. Apparently, they don't say what happened to their father. He's not there. You can assume that he's dead.
Yeah, I believe he died.
The opening scene of the movie is actually after the montage. You get another montage of Crew and his two friends delivering newspapers, like
Yes.
doing like bike tricks to deliver the paper. And
Yep.
there's actually a stunt dog in the very beginning of the movie. He hops over their fence
Oh,
and there's a
yeah.
German Shepherd. You're like, oh no, the German Shepherd's gonna attack him.
He
What's he gonna
grabs the
do?
newspaper out
And
of his hand.
he just grabs the newspaper out of his hands. He's like, oh, see you later. I'll see you next week. And like, okay.
As far as the direction of the movie, like you mentioned, like I felt like this movie was directed like a long like sitcom episode.
Yeah, it
Like it
felt
was
like
just a
that.
lot of like quirky like sitcom stuff, like the dog jumping and grabbing the paper, and like him knocking the cups of coffee out of the guy's hand while he's riding a bike, and all these little things that you typically see in like a sitcom like Full House or something like that, or Growing Pains. You know what I mean? Like it just had that feel to me. Like it, I had fond memories of this movie when I was a kid. Like I remember getting up one morning, I back back in the day, kids, when we had a TV Guide, and like
Yep.
I saw it, I remember this so vividly. Like, it was in my TV Guide, and it was like at 6 in the morning on like HBO or something. And I'm like, holy shit, like, I want to see this movie. I got up like extra early, popped in my little VHS tape, and recorded it, and then watched it later. And I remember actually loving this movie when I was a kid. Like, does it hold up? As far as nostalgia, like, the nostalgia is definitely there. I think, like I said, the movie's definitely, it feels like a long sitcom episode. And there were a lot of things I forgot about it. But go ahead, you were talking.
Yeah, the movie, some of the things that are worth noting in the movie when we're talking about that still that opening scene is Ray Walston is actually the guy who has a cups of coffee knocked out of his hands. He's on a BMX bike when it happens. Like,
Yeah.
he's bicycling on like a BMX bike from a coffee shop with two little coffees in his hand, and it gets knocked over by a flying newspaper. And his first was like, this world would be so much would be better off if it wasn't for, these kids.
Yeah.
So he's, starts off like the crotchety old man. There's actually a hilarious scene where Bill Allen, who plays Crew, is delivering newspapers and like does a stunt off of like some garbage barrels and lands and on this woman's car. She's backing up with her kids to
Yeah.
go grocery shopping,
And she
and
doesn't
she
even
doesn't even
notice.
realize she's been hit. Like, this dude in
On
this bike just fall completely on her car,
her car,
and
yeah.
she just all she does is like turn and like yell at the kids like, "If you don't quiet down, someone's gonna be sorry."
What else can we say about this movie? Basically, the whole premise of the movie or the plot is that he's like a local kid, and him and his two friends, they're wicked into riding on their bikes and doing tricks and stuff like that. And basically, this bigwig who's like the head of the Mongoose
Yep.
bike company.
Jack Weston playing the character of Duke Best,
Yep.
the president of Mongoose Racing.
Mongoose. And he's bringing this course called Hell Track, or what's it
Yeah,
called?
Hell
Yeah, Hell
Track.
Track.
Hell Track.
And he's bringing it to this town, and he's hoping that, his number one rider for Mongoose will
Bart Taylor.
Bart Taylor will put on a good show, and they'll get some more like businesses that will take on some Mongoose supplies or
Yeah,
whatever.
basically they're trying to market Bart Taylor. They're trying to really spread his name out. And somebody, approaches like, how are these kids who live in this town gonna feel when all these professionals show up? And they're like, well, whether or not Bart wins Hell Track, we'll give you $10,000, which
Well,
in
basically, they put out a mini competition for local riders to have a chance to compete with the professional riders in Hell Track. So they put out a mini competition for the local kids, and of course, Crew and his friends enter. And I think it's like the top like guy that wins this
It's like a
local
points race.
competition. Yeah, it's a points race. So he comes in. You got to come in the top three places in 3 times, and then you're in. And which Crew does, of course. And he's he qualifies for Hell Track, and out of nowhere, for whatever reason, the head of the Mongoose company feels incredibly threatened by Crew.
We
Even
just
though he's been beat every single race, he just came in the top three.
exactly, even second, third, and second.
Yeah, so like he wasn't the top rider in any of the races. So, but for whatever reason, like you gotta, progress the movie along, the head of the Mongoose company feels incredibly threatened out of nowhere. It just doesn't feel like believable at all.
No, this is
'Cause he's like, I've never seen such raw determination
them
in one
talents.
kid.
Exactly.
And
You
I'm
should be
like,
afraid.
I'm still looking for it. Like, he's a good rider, but I mean he wasn't like blowing everyone's doors off. Like, he was just okay. Like, he wasn't good enough to get in the top three.
Yeah, keep in mind the Hell Track is not a stunt track. It's a BMX dirt track, which you just have to pedal
With a giant kicks
with a giant
bowl.
kicks bowl. Oh, that's a callback for that kicks bowl. Remember,
Yep, there
very early
is.
on, Crew was actually eating kicks. In a little hideout that him and his friends have
A
before
little
they get, a
clubhouse
little clubhouse on like that's a construction like in
where
a
these
lumber
high
yard.
schoolers have like these high school kids, like they're 17, I think, and they have like
Yeah,
a little clubhouse
clubhouse
in a
in a
lumber
lumber
yard.
yard, and they look out the window and they see the sheriff
That's the funniest scene in the entire movie.
where they're like, oh look, the sheriff wants to play Sergeant Smith, played by H.B. Haggerty, and then obviously like there's like the zany like little chase
Through the lumber
through the
yard
lumber yard where like the
with a bad 80s song.
motorcycle cop is like trying to catch up to these kids who like are hopping on like boards and like going up ramps, and obviously his bike can't go up those,
And
steep ramps.
the police officer's not on a bike. He's on a
He's on a
motorcycle
motorcycle.
chasing these kids, and they're just riding on their pedal bikes,
Like,
and
do,
like,
do, 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 do.
and he's just trying to chase them. And for what, you don't know, he just chases them for fun, I
I
guess.
think he just chased him from because.
Because this town is so small and probably boring, he has nothing better to do.
Exactly, because when Krug escapes from him after like the after the chase, like he goes on like this big pile of wood and like jumps over a fence and ends up on the street so
Yeah.
that Sergeant Smith can't chase him. And he just looks at him and gives like that point, like
You crazy
you
kids, try
crazy kids,
to
I'll get you yet.
That was hilarious.
Another bike scene that I feel I should mention is in the movie Lori Loughlin plays a woman named Christian, who is like the number one female BMX rider in the world.
Oh man, please tell me you're talking about the dance.
I'm talking about the dance.
Oh, that
It's
was my other favorite scene.
they call it a BMX boogie, and it's shot very similar to Saturday Night Fever, with
Yes.
the with Lori Loughlin and Bill Allen, supposed to be Lori Loughlin and Bill Allen dancing in the gym on their bikes, like as like a beautiful, beautiful dance where they're doing like various stunts. I wonder. I wish I knew which stunt man was the one that was like drawn to like put the wig on and be Lori Loughlin's stunt
Because
double.
this movie has very obvious stunt
The stunt doubles
doubles.
in it. And I mean, from a you only see Lori Loughlin riding the bike from a distance
Or like a really tight shot.
of her
And
up close, like doing something like on the handlebars when you can tell the
you
bike's
never
not
see
moving.
a full wide angle shot of her doing any sort of trick, except for one where she's just riding the bike. She's not
Yeah,
actually performing any tricks.
she's just bicycling. Later on, they're like they're doing like their little love scene. He's like taking her through the woods, and it doesn't look like a wig. Like they just stopped trying, or they ran out of money, or they lost the wig because it looks like somebody's just wearing a black hood.
I know
As they go
exactly
through
what
the
you're talking
woods.
about. Yeah, there was very obvious doubles in this movie. Does it take away from the movie? It's an 80s movie. I mean, this movie's rated PG. I don't know what to expect. I mean, it's very, I mean, the worst that it ever gets in this movie is the kids say shit a lot or bullshit.
Yeah, the little girl, there's a little trope, there's a trope, couple of tropes actually. The little girl who swears, obviously, is one of the tropes. And the other one is the old man giving the finger,
Yes.
which Ray Walston does twice.
I actually have something I noticed about his character. It's never mentioned exactly what he does because he's the co-financier of bringing this track to this town.
Yes.
And he obviously owns a business, but it's not like a major business, it's like a local business.
Only
And
one person works for him because he only has two cups of coffee.
yes. Exactly, good point. But it's never specifically mentioned what he does, but apparently he has tons of money because he's able to have this pay for this track to get built, and later on
He does
he
something with that money.
sponsors a crew in the race
Yes.
and he puts up like
$7,000.
$27,000. So and it's never mentioned exactly what he does. Like, what is he? He's just a local store owner?
He's a
Like the
local rich guy, is what he is. He's
I
like,
apparently, but
he's an
it's just
eccentric rich guy because he's an old man who rides a
But
BMX.
and also, like, what ties does he have other than riding a BMX bike? Like, what ties does he have to even be interested? Like, he clearly hates kids because
Well,
he
it's his
makes a.
town, and he like it's his town, and he wants the local kid to do good, even if he disagrees with what these kids are up to.
Yeah, but it's just
Even if he's
so
a grumpy
weird.
old
Like,
man, he has a heart of gold.
his little mini arc, like, is kind of weird because at first you get the sense that he really hates kids and he wants nothing to do with them. But then he's sponsoring a track being brought to this town specifically for kids, and then he goes on to sponsor the kid that knocks down his coffees in the beginning of the movie. So it's almost like, what the hell? So that's a little weird, but I mean, that's why I mentioned it's like a sitcom. Like, things don't make sense in this movie, they just happen.
Yeah, there's another great montage that I want to mention as well, and that's between Lori Loughlin and Bill Allen again.
The ass sliding.
Where she goes, what's it? He was like, oh, this town must have like must be great, and he's like, I'll show you what there is to do, and they
It's like the
go
greatest. He makes it sound like it's
like
the
the
greatest
greatest
thing
thing ever.
ever.
They water slide in a drainage sluice, which I can only imagine what kind of water is pouring into this river. But and it's like first off, you see like they're in the little drainage sluice and they slide down. It's got to be like maybe like 10, 15 feet. It's not even like a long slide.
Yeah, I'd
There's
say
this
like maybe
crazy
15.
big splash,
Yeah.
and then you see it again in slow motion. But you can tell it's the same take because their clothes are dry on
Yeah.
that second like head-on slow take where they're like, oh, look, my arms are around you. I'm wrapped around you. See, we're hugging. And
Yeah.
then he's standing there and their clothes are obviously dry again. He's standing there, by the river, and she takes this giant boulder and like throws it in the water, and it makes this little tiny splash. He's like, "Hey!"
And they run and chase each other, like frolic through the
and then they
water.
kiss.
Now their little arc, like how quickly they come together, is ridiculous. Like it literally happens within 15 minutes of the movie.
Like
Like they
he sees
meet,
her.
they do a little bicycle boogie at the high school
And then he
dance or
runs
whatever.
away.
Then he runs away because he's shy or whatever. The next scene, he meets her again or something, and then they just go ass sliding, and then they're practically like boyfriend and
They are
girlfriend.
boyfriend and girlfriend.
It's so
And
weird.
she
Like it
calls him
happens
baby
within,
later.
yeah, it
She's like,
happens
come on,
within.
baby, you can do it.
It's it, they, their connection just happens really, really fast. So it gives you the sense that Lori Loughlin's pretty easy.
Well,
Like
Kristen's pretty easy.
she's not high maintenance at all, but whatever. Now going forward, the race is about to happen. Cruz learning how to backflip on his bike for whatever
That's a
reason.
that yeah, he wants to learn this new stunt, they call it the airwalk. But it's actually just a bicycle backflip, which I back then that wasn't a terrible common, stunt to do on a bike. So it's like he's learning how to do this thing, and finally he lands the trick. On
Where
the ramp.
after Lori Loughlin's character talks to him like twice, like she says two sentences to him, says, "Hey, you gotta do
Let
this."
your head fall. Let your body follow your head, not the other way around. And take the pads off, because if you land this trick, you're just gonna wipe out anyway. And he's
Yeah.
like, "What about my back?" She's like, "No guts, no glory." And then he fails the first time, gets up and does it
He
again.
over-rotates
He over
and
rotates, and then he lands it, and like everyone's like, "Woohoo!" And then it's not mentioned again. You don't
No,
see him do that
well, he
until.
does it one time later, but before that, like the pro bike guys show up at the town, and it's a small town, so they're like, "What the hell?" They have nothing good to say about the town. They're just trash talking it through this little parade that they throw for all the pro BMX riders, and of course, the head biker, which is played
Bart
by
Connor.
Bart Connor, which is actually, I looked him up, and he's actually like a gold medal Olympian.
Really?
He's like a gymnast. He's not like a
Really?
BMX rider in
Well,
real life.
you never actually see him ride a bike at all.
Yeah, because yeah,
Well, you do, but he's got a helmet on, so that's
he's
another
always wearing a
obvious stunt
helmet.
double.
So yeah, but
Then you have his
basically,
evil twin bodyguards.
those guys, we gotta talk about those twins. They're a twin pro BMX riders that are on the Mongoose team along with the main
Rex
foil to
Reynolds
crew.
and Rod Reynolds.
Yeah, those guys, their costume or their outfit at
At
the
the dance, I want that outfit.
That
That
outfit,
spacesuit
they were
looking
both
thing.
wearing, it looked like something like Cobra Commander would wear on G.I.
Not even
Joe.
Kobe. It's like something you'd
Or
see
like
like,
Zartan.
not even Zartan. Something you'd see like in a like a like a 50s like space movie, like
Yes.
in like a spacesuit that you see like like somebody
Like
from Space
even
Command.
pre-Star Trek, you would see
Yeah. You just need the big ball over the head,
Yep.
like and a laser gun with like a hose attached to it.
This movie was, holy crap. This movie was, like, we're going to be talking about Gleaming the Cube. This movie felt a lot more 80s than
Oh, it
Gleaming the
did, because
Cube,
like
even though
even
they're only 2 years apart.
exactly the out of town girls, the in town girls, one of them showing made like not even wearing a bra with just a tank top,
Yeah.
and I'm like, whoa, we're gonna see some boobs in this movie.
No,
Nope,
the
no
out of town
boobs.
girls are like total like hair bands, like groupies.
Exactly. They actually had some hilarious names. One is Foxy and one is Tiger.
Tiger, yeah.
Tiger always wears tiger prints.
Yes. Obviously. It's just ridiculous, but I mean, I don't know how much more there is to say about the movie. I mean, the Hell Track is not
Hell
it
track.
does not live up to its name. I mean, probably the most dangerous thing in it is the three story drop in the beginning.
Three stories drop, and then the trick we have to like go up the half pipe at the end
Yeah.
and land on the thing to get back
I
to the
guess the
top of
Kix
the.
Mole could be potentially treacherous if you try to go two at a time.
We see all another crazy wipeout where people just kind of fall
Yeah.
down like, oh, I'm out.
I mean, Hell Track doesn't live up to its name, but you can pretty much surmise what happens at the end of the movie. The local kid wins. Head of Mongoose is pissed off. He kicks Bart off the team or whatever. Crew. I mean, this movie, they use the word. This movie's got to hold one of the records for most times the name of the movie was said in the movie.
It
They say rad so many freaking times in this movie, it's crazy. Like, I mean, it's obviously a term to, more than just the name of a movie, but it was pretty funny how many times you heard someone say that was rad or
A
radical. I
radical,
haven't
yeah.
heard someone say radical
Gnarly
and gnarly,
when someone
yeah.
takes a bad fall.
But I mean, overall, I still have a fond place. There's a place in my heart for this movie. Like I still think it's not a great movie, but it's one of those movies I remember fondly as a kid, and like I still laughed and at all the little how 80s this movie was and the dialogue and the clothing and everything. I mean, I had fun watching it. It was a lot more fun than the next movie we're going to be talking about.
Which is funny because you and I are switching places now because our next movie,
Oh, you're going to give grades on this one, or do you want to give them at the end?
we'll give them at the end.
Okay.
The next movie we also saw is a movie that's near and dear to my heart. I love this movie. I was so happy to review it again, like see it again. Gleaming the Cube, 1986.
Nope, 1988.
Oh, 1988. I'm
What?
sorry. I was reading the IMDb for Rad again. Yeah, 1988. It says here in IMDb, 1989. Let's see. We'll get the full summary in just a second. Gleaming the Cube, 1989. Brian's adopted brother is killed when he discovers that the shop he works in sends weapons to Vietnam instead of medications. To the police, it looks like a suicide, but Brian knows better, so he skates off to investigate the murder himself. This stars Christian Slater in his early days.
Gotta be one of his first movies.
One of
I
his
mean,
early movies. Plays Brian Kelly, skater, skater extraordinaire.
there's not many other recognizable characters in this movie.
Other than Tony Hawk,
Oh, Tony Hawk, of
a
course, but I
young
mean,
Tony Hawk, Tommy Guerrero. If you, for those of you in the audience that skate or may have skated back in the day, and that's pretty much all the big names. The stunt doubles for this movie were all big names back at the time, like
yeah, like Rodney Mullen
Rodney
did a
Mullen
lot of
and
the.
Natas. I love this movie. I do. I do. It is directed by Graeme Clifford or Graham Clifford. I always have problems pronouncing that name because of the way it looks.
I'm sure he gets Grammy all the time.
I'm sure he does.
Oh.
He won a Grammy Award. Yeah. Let's see. He direct. What else did he direct? Things we may know. Director. 24 titles. Right and Wrong, which is a TV movie.
Looks like I did a lot of TV stuff. Pretty much
The Last
everything.
Dawn, the miniseries.
Yeah. It's almost all TV series.
It is Twin Peaks. He
Ooh.
did. What did one of the episodes? Did he Gleam in the Cube?
Wow, he really hasn't done a lot of.
Fairy Tale Theater.
I only see Gleaming the Cube as like a movie. Oh, Burke and
Burke
Willis?
and
Will
Wills,
Mills.
which I have no idea what that's
But it looks
about.
like he's done mostly TV stuff recently.
This movie starts off with another montage almost. It's
Yeah.
a bunch of kids on skateboards going through an airport, which these days would get you arrested.
Yeah, they're just randomly skating through an airport. You could tell this movie was made before 9/11 because nowadays these kids would be like SWAT
Arrested.
team would just show up and be like, "What are you guys doing here?"
But why are they looking? Why are they in the airport, Romano?
This is the strangest thing I've ever seen. They're at the airport because I guess they've dealt with a pilot there before, and basically this pilot takes the kids up on a flight, and they're scouting empty pools to skate
To
in.
skate in, yep, to skate in some empty
Talk
pools.
about like.
Expensive.
Expensive. Like I'm not sure how they pay this guy, but I mean,
Well, Tony Hawk's got a job. He works at Pizza Hut.
yeah,
He's a delivery driver.
as he would back then. But
Christian Slater apparently has some money. You don't know what he does. He doesn't really seem to have a job. But he pays him. They take him up, and he's like, "I'll just take one of you." And then you see like the whole like skate gang is in the plane putting up stickers and decals on everything,
yeah, they just.
including Tony Hawk putting a Tony Hawk sticker on a window.
Yeah, which is pretty funny. Just the fact that they would go to these lengths just to find an empty swimming pool is pretty ridiculous. But whatever. I mean, I don't know about you, man, but I remembered a lot more about Rad than I did about this movie
I
going
remember a
in.
lot more of this movie than I did Rad.
Oh man, wow. This movie is way darker than I remember it being. Like watching it now, I'm like, holy crap, like high school kids get murdered in this movie.
Not just murdered, strangled with a wet towel.
And not just him, the other guy, which I think was around the same age, he gets shot in the back. Like, he just gets murdered by an
By an
adult.
adult, yeah. He
And
gets
I'm just
blood
like,
all over the
I don't
window.
remember, like, this movie being this dark. And
It,
what's it even rated? Is it
let's
rated?
see, what's the rating on this movie? This movie is rated. I'm willing to bet it's like PG.
PG maybe back then?
Let's see, it is rated
PG-13.
PG-13.
Which is not surprising. I mean, there's, even when the people are murdered in this movie, it's not like a bloodbath.
No,
But.
it's the first murder is off camera. The second murder is also off camera, but you see the end result of it
Yeah.
when his body hits the window of a car Christian Slater is hiding in, and then he like kind of slumps down in this bloody mess.
Yeah. But I mean, this movie, is basically like the synopsis we just read. Christian Slater's brother is murdered. He's his adoptive brother. He's actually a Vietnamese.
Named Vin Kelly.
Yep. And he works at, I guess, some kind of
Bolsa
medical.
Video. Bolsa Video is owned by Colonel Truck, and
Yes.
Colonel Truck is actually part of the Vietnamese Anti-Communist Relief Fund,
Wow, you remember way
who,
more than
who's supposed to be shipping medical supplies to Vietnam, to help the, the victims of, I guess, the war, since it's still, 80s, Vietnam wasn't all that far out, from then, I'm guessing. And Vin discovers that there's a weight discrepancy that he thinks someone's ripping them off, and he thinks it's the medical supply company. And he's told, don't put your nose in this business. But
He does because
he
he the boss made him look bad by saying that, he's in over his head. Maybe he did the calculations wrong, and he's a very proud student. And he's like, "No, I know I got those calculations right." And he goes and
breaks in.
breaks into this medical supply company
Gets
and
caught
gets caught.
by what was his name? Ed Lawndale, played by Richard Hurd, who takes him to a hotel room, along with his strongman, who's Bob, his name Bobby, and he's trying to get information out, like, what do you know,
And they wrap a wet towel around his neck.
and start choking him, while there's a knock on the door, and Ed Lawndale goes out to see what it is, and it's Colonel Truck, and they have a brief conversation on the patio of the hotel. And when he comes back in, Vin is dead, and he's like, "I don't believe I killed him!" So they made it look like a suicide.
Yes. They stage a hanging
Yep,
to look like he,
he
hung
hung himself. He
himself.
checked into a hotel and hung himself for whatever reason. And basically, the police go, "Ah, it's just a suicide." And Christian Slater's like, "My brother wouldn't kill himself. I'm gonna investigate this further."
And he basically becomes a skateboarding like detective.
Kinda, yeah.
I mean, I really didn't remember a lot about this movie. I didn't remember that people even died. Like I couldn't remember what the plot was. Like I remember obviously he's in it, they're skating. I thought it was something lighter, like rad, like there was some kind of competition at the end and they were trying to get into it. But this movie is basically like a mystery. Like this Christian Slater's trying to unravel this mystery, like my brother would never kill himself. And he gets these clues and he's got this cop that's kind of on his side, but doesn't want to see him try to do his job, and he doesn't want to see him get in trouble. And I didn't remember any of that in this movie.
I remember that, where he at one point, once he starts putting the pieces together, Christian Slater, because he finds a slip of paper in his brother's his brother's keepsakes, which I have to talk about the decoration
We watched this together, and I remember
the
you remarking, and it just made me laugh when you just were realizing the stuff that I wasn't paying attention to. But go
So
ahead.
you have Christian Slater, who's the skater, and his side of the
Now they
room,
share a
they
room.
share a room. Christian, Brian Kelly and Vin Kelly, the brothers.
Yep.
So Christian Slater's side of the room, it's skate posters. It's kind of messy.
Yeah, his clothes all over the
Clothes all over the
place.
place. His bed sheets are all rumpled.
Yep.
He's got books and stuff like that, magazines all over the place. And then you've got Vin's side with the Asian themed comforter, the what looks like a Chinese takeout menu on the wall, like the calendar that you would get at some places. There's a little model saw, like a little teapot on
It
a
was
little
like a
tiny
little
shelf.
like Asian teapot.
He's got a little portable computer slash word processor,
Yep.
and he plays chess.
Yeah, it was it, they made it as stereotypical as possible, like his side of the room. Like, I mean, same goes for the skateboarder, but it comes off as a little more offensive on the Vietnamese dude side because they just had to they didn't know what to do. They couldn't just have like a neat looking side of a room. They had to throw all the Asian
Yeah, all the little Asian montages,
Little things,
montages,
little touches to
motif,
it,
that's what it is,
the
not
motif.
motif,
Yeah.
montage.
No.
So,
So Christian Slater goes on his little detective mission.
after befriending his
His
deceased
Vietnamese
brother's
brother's like
girlfriend.
girlfriend, which is kind of shady. Like he starts like striking up sort of like a relationship with her, but it starts to become towards the end of the movie like more than just like a friendly
Yes.
relationship. Like it seems like he's interested in her and she's interested
Interested
in
in him.
him, which is it's and she doesn't like her boyfriend is killed. You don't know how long they've been together, but she doesn't act very distraught. Like
No,
that she pretty much
not
goes to school the next day, and so does he, it seems like. And she's not even crying, she's not broken up about it, she's just kind of like, it happened, just let it go.
Yeah, just gotta let it
Like it's
go.
kind of weird. I don't know, I didn't really buy that. But anyways, One thing that Christian Slater does, which is like so unskater-like, he, you know, following his brother's lead, also breaks. He finds this paper, and he also breaks up into this medical. He breaks into this medical supply company, and he proceeds to not only trick some security guards and lock them into a little trailer, and then push it down the road. He then
Blows up a propane
blows
tank
up a propane tank, like using a skateboard
and a
and
can
some.
of
And a can of
gasoline.
gasoline, like just rolls it towards this propane tank and just causes this huge explosion and causes part of the building to catch on fire.
But he's protected because he's hiding behind a wooden pallet.
A wooden pallet,
Like
like maybe less than 50 feet away.
exactly, like that would knock you on your ass.
Yeah, like he doesn't even react. It's weird, but kind of weird. And the cop just happens to know that it was him, even though he has
No
no
proof.
proof at all. He just assumes that it was Christian Slater, and Christian Slater just kind of gives him like a kind of wink and a nudge, like, "What if it was
He's like,
me?"
we're supposed to rattle, you said we're supposed to rattle their cages.
Yeah, pretty much copping to it. And I'm like, "Do you really want to own up to this? Like, this
This
guy could arrest you right
is like
now."
arson and terrorism at this
Yeah,
point.
like weird. And the cop thinks nothing of it. Like, he's like, "I'm a buddy cop. I'm a good guy. I don't have to be a cop right now. You can get away with
Exactly,
this."
we can be pals. Tell me what you know.
It's kind of weird, but anyway, like going further into the movie, Christian Slater, what happens actually? You probably know better than I would. I can't even
Christian Slater
remember.
starts putting pieces together,
Yes.
and little by little, and he finds out that Tina is the love interest, played by Min Long, Colonel Trock's daughter, is her father's involved in this, and so he sets up this plan, and part of his plan involves blowing up that propane tank and leaving behind Colonel Trock's like favorite Los Angeles Rams hat
Yeah,
in the wreckage.
weird. Because it's obviously the only Los Angeles Rams hat that, you know, was ever made.
Exactly.
Because
No one else will wear a Los Angeles Rams
the
hat.
guy clearly the owner of the medical supply company who's in cahoots with the girl's father.
The Colonel, yeah, to make money
And
off these weapon sales.
yeah, basically, like instead of sending medical supplies, they're trafficking guns.
And it's like, oh, in the crate he found like 12 rifles and 50,000 rounds of ammunition. I'm like, that little crate does not, I don't think
Well,
will
they said
hold.
500,000 rounds of
That's
ammunition.
what he's
I'm
got
like,
total
yeah,
in
I'm
the
like,
building. That's
what?
a lot of bullets.
That's a lot of bullets, not a lot of guns, because they only mentioned 12
They
guns. I'm like, I
need
guess
to
they,
reload a lot.
yeah, I
But
guess.
he's also talking about how he's got surface-to-air missiles, which back in the 80s that was a big deal. There was a big threat against passenger planes with shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missiles known as Stingers. So he's talking about like all these like scary things for 1989. And as a side note, every time Christian Slater puts another piece together, and something gets in his way, he gets angry,
Yeah.
and there's only one way he can deal with his anger,
Oh, I remember that now.
and that's to skate and
Yeah.
skate aggressively as possible. The
Yep.
first time after his
Ridiculous.
brother passes away, you see him just
Just
going
go
completely
skating on
aggro
like a
on a
half
ramp,
pipe. Yeah.
and he's going completely aggro doing all these crazy tricks,
Yep. And then
and
the
then
next time, I forget what it was, like somebody just kind of pisses him off or something, and he goes skating in like an
he's doing
abandoned.
flatland tricks. In a construction zone,
Yeah.
but there's a camera eye view where that's like he's supposed to be like a POV of like where he's skating,
Yep.
and the camera eye view, you can tell that the person who's on the camera had to be using some sort of like Steadicam or something like that, because there's all these boards and like debris that if you were skating you would not be
Yeah.
able to be cruising so smoothly.
No, you'd be falling off that board like every 2 feet because there was just so many things in his way, so much debris and like just pallets of stuff. Like he couldn't skate comfortably in this place, but he does. And it really reminded me of Footloose
Yes,
when
the
Kevin
angry
Bacon.
dancing
Angry dancing,
in the
like it just
garage.
reminded me every time he did that, like it reminded me of like angry skateboarding. Like he's like, I need to, you know, do something
I'm
about all
so
this. I'm
mad!
so mad, I need to
I
like just go
gotta
skate.
skate!
And now this movie is really guilty of something. They really, really, really shoehorned the name of this movie into the movie.
This is his friend Max, his friend Yabo, played by Max Perlick,
Yeah.
says it, and I'm pretty sure Gleaming the Cube has to do with acid. I'm almost positive.
That's not even my beef with it or my gripe. Like my gripe is more with the fact that he would have to explain what gleaming the cube is to Christian Slater's character.
Yeah.
This kid is like a skateboard. It looks like he lives and breathes skateboarding. For his friend to just go to him and be like, "Hey man, gleam the cube or whatever," and Christian Slater acts like he's never heard it before in his life,
What
and
does that mean?
he's like, "What's that?" And he's like, "You know, man, it's when you let it all go and you just skate." And I'm like, how the hell would Christian Slater's character
not know
what the hell this means? Like,
exactly.
they just really shoehorned. They just really wanted to get the name of the movie into the movie, and they shoehorned it in, and it came off really weak.
Another great part of the movie is, so you've got Brian Kelly trying to piece together his brother's murder.
Yes.
And the only way he can do that is if he becomes friends with his deceased brother's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
But she can't be friends with him because, well, look at the way you're dressed.
Yep.
So he, you know, does the transformation scene where, like, everyone's, like, at school's like, because he cuts his hair a little bit. It's not even, like, he doesn't need that dress. He just doesn't spike it.
Yeah, he probably cuts, like, an inch off, and then he starts wearing, like, polos and loafers.
Exactly. And khakis. He's all dressed up nice. He's got a little briefcase.
And all of a sudden,
He stops skating. Rides a bike.
All his friends are like, what the hell? And, like, she's like, his murdered brother's girlfriend is like, I can hang out with you now.
You're so clean.
It's like that instantaneous. Like, that doesn't matter who he is. It's just the clothes that mattered.
Yeah, come take me out on a date. Strange. And like some of his friends' reactions are pretty hilarious, where it's like very typical like skater reactions, like, if that ever happens to me, make sure I'm dead.
Yeah, and they're just like
skating is forever.
Like, oh man, you fell on your head one too many times.
Or yeah, some exactly.
Stupid shit like that. But I don't know, fast forward it, you know, towards the end of the movie, the girlfriend's father has had enough, like too many people have been killed and he just wants to get out. And the partner that he's or the guy that he's partners with,
Ed Mondale,
won't let him go and kind of shoots him.
And kind of shoots him? No, he does shoot him.
He does shoot him. He shoots him.
Only after Christian Slater comes crashing through a plate glass window on a skateboard.
On a
crazy air ollie.
He does a lot of action-y stuff on that skateboard. Like, there's always a convenient ramp or pool that he can launch off of just right where he needs it, just to, you know, launch and dropkick dudes in the face. But basically, he comes smashing through the window. The business partner takes his daughter, and this precedes probably the best thing in the entire movie.
The chase scene.
The chase scene with him on a skateboard chasing...
Ed Londale in a police car.
In a police car.
He
steals a police car. And Christian Slater's character proceeds to grab onto a guy in a Corvette, and they chase after the police car. It's awesome.
The Corvette driver is Buddy Joe Hooker, who's the stunt coordinator for this movie.
Awesome name.
Who looks just like Michael Bay.
Yeah. He does. But it's funny. Like, he grabs onto the Corvette. They chase after the police car. But even before that, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. There's an awesome scene where Tony Hawk in the movie plays one of his buddies, works for Pizza Hut, and he has one of those old Pizza Hut delivery trucks with, like, the big, giant Pizza Hut roof on the hood of the car. And he calls all his buddies, like, hey, come and help me out. We got to go get this guy. And they all jump in the back of the truck, and they proceed to play chicken.
Well, yeah, all the skaters are coming down in front of him. You hear, like, this Ride of the Valkyries kind of music.
Yeah.
And the police car's coming up the street, and he's like, run into him! And Juice just shows a Tony Hawk's face with this, like, smirk. Like, I ain't moving.
Yeah, like, he's just like, I'm not turning, dude. Like,
I'm not
you
turning.
Gotta turn. And, like, of course they play chicken, and, you know,
he's
the
like,
guy
turns. No, I gotta turn!
And the skaters all, it's just so funny the way the skaters are using this as, like, this, like, menacing, like, thing where they just look like, you know, just high school kids on skateboards. Like, it's ridiculous. But
there's some great pauses in this chase, too, because at that point, that allows Christian Slater to catch up to the police car.
Yep.
And his buddies, you know, go down on their Pizza Hut truck, and they're like, woohoo! And he gives them the thumbs up, like, yeah, I'm doing it! I'm chasing him!
One of the more dangerous stunts in the movie where, you know, he's been hanging on to this Corvette chasing the police car this whole time, and his buddies in the Pizza Hut truck catch up. And there's an 18-wheeler in between the Corvette and his buddies. So he's like, all right, man, thanks for the ride. And then he just lets go and, like, goes in
under the 18-wheeler onto the other side. And he was
and
like,
then just grabs
whoa!
Onto his friend's his truck there.
And the truck driver's like, yeah, look at that guy go.
That was awesome that he actually saw all that happen, the 18-wheeler truck driver. But then what happens? Oh, the cop whose car got stolen. We forgot to mention that his car got stolen. And he takes, like, a civilian's car, catches up, blocks...
He takes Londale's car, actually, the red Pontiac.
Oh, that's right.
And because at one point, Christian Slater opens the door while they're in a parking lot, and it rips the door off. He's like, oh, man, Londale's going to be pissed!
And he actually, the way he jump-starts the car, he uses, like, his little skate key. And just starts the car with it. Ridiculous.
So maybe that's how he gets his money for the airplane. He just steals cars, like Gone in 60 Seconds.
You could be onto something. Could be how he gets all that money to rent planes to go flying and scout pools. But another conveniently placed. How does he launch? I forget.
He does a wall ride off of a Jersey barrier
That's
and
right.
into the air. Is another crazy air ollie. And just as Lonsdale goes to shoot him, his skateboard lands on the handle of the gun. And he's like, ah! And the gun
Yeah,
goes
it knocks it out. He
flying.
like drop kicks Lonsdale right in his face.
And he goes tumbling into the street where I've lived in California for a brief period of time when I was younger, and I've been to California recently. You come flying out into the street in California, you're
You're
dead.
dead because it's
There's
like,
people just stop in time. No.
and plus that side of they're on the highway, like the
Yes.
freeway,
And
and
I
like
very
that side of the freeway, dead, just perfect where you could
exactly
just
dead.
land.
You're
There's no
just
cars
dead.
around.
Nope, you'd be dead.
Yeah, he'd
Because
be
the
fucking.
traffic would be going out in all crazy directions. But
Yeah.
we also see a very familiar drainage ditch
Oh
that he
yeah.
chases him through as a shortcut. Christian
Yes.
Slater goes down into a drainage ditch, which is, I believe, the same drainage ditch, or a very similar drainage ditch to the one used in Terminator 2.
Terminator 2.
Even see the overpass where like the
Yep.
gate is, where
Where the
the
truck
18
goes flying over.
will come right, will come through,
Yeah, it looked
only a few years
really. Yeah, it
later.
looked really familiar. Yeah, I mean, I didn't remember much about the movie. It was a lot like darker than I thought it. I remembered it being. I honestly thought it was very similar to Rad, like where they just wanted to. They were just trying to join a competition, and they were being held down by the man or some pro skaters or something.
Nope. It's
But this movie, it's got
a
murder,
murder
like people get
mystery.
shot, like it's crazy. Like, I mean, a skateboarding detective, what more can you ask for?
Exactly. Let's see. It's written by Michael Tolkien, not like J.R.R. Tolkien, Tolkien. Let's see what his other writing credits are. I'm certainly curious now. He wrote Changing Lanes, Deep Impact, The Player. These are all well, Player's a TV movie. Well, he wrote some other T Burning Season. It's a teleplay. Looks like a couple
Oh, some stuff on Taxi, the TV
Taxi,
series.
the TV series called Delta House. But so he did the 2009 screenplay for the movie Nine.
Nice.
I need to see which Nine that is. If that's the
That's
one
probably
about
the
Fosse,
Nods the Musical.
yeah. So yeah, he wrote the screenplay for the 2009 movie Nine.
Quite a jump from Gleaming the
Gleaming
Cube to a
the Cube.
musical. But
Yeah, and then at the end you've got the big kiss scene that you've been waiting for between Christian Slater and Min Long.
yep.
He's all busted up in the hospital, and he's like, "So about your father?" And she just nods. He's like, "Oh, I'm
This
sorry to hear that." I'm like, "Your dad was shot to death because of
this girl
this
has no emotions. Like
guy."
she her boyfriend is killed during this movie, no emotion. Her father dies
As a direct result of
of
the new guy crashing through her window.
yeah, and she has no emotion. Like she's just like, yeah,
He's
whatever.
dead. My
He
mom wants to
died.
stay here.
Boyfriend dead, father dead, whatever. What are you doing
So
later?
I don't. Yeah, he's like, I don't want to go back to school. And he's like, don't go back to school without me.
Yeah, wow, like this movie. Ridiculous. Like I had a lot more fun watching Rad. I mean, these I thought they compared a lot more, but they contrast quite a bit. Like one's a lot darker. The other one's a lot more fun, more like a like I said, a sitcom. Grades
All right, we'll see. Well, what would you give your grade for Rad?
for Rad, it's based solely in, I'm not gonna sit here and try to say it's a great movie. It's based solely on fond memories and nostalgia. Eight. No, I won't go A. I can't do A.
It seems a little extreme.
I'll go B plus.
I'm not that far behind. I'm gonna give it a B. I remember seeing it when I was a kid, and it is that lighthearted kind of, happy, 80s movie where like, oh no, this bad guy won't let us ride our bikes.
And it doesn't overstay its welcome. It's an hour and a half.
It's 90 minutes.
I mean, neither one of these movies are very long. I think Gleaming the Cube is an
It's
hour and
all
40 minutes.
exactly. It's about 90 minutes too, or something like that. Let's see.
Though Gleaming the Cube did feel longer to me than an hour. I felt like I was watching the movie for 2 hours. Like,
According to IMDb, it says clocks in at 100 minutes.
yep, hour 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Now Gleaming the Cube.
In the Cube,
I'll let you go first.
I used to skate. I was a big time skater back in high school, and I used to watch the movie because I skate. Like I was in high school from like 1990,
And there weren't
1994.
that many skateboard movies back in the
There
day.
weren't there. There were not. I get to give this movie an A minus just because it brings back a lot of fond
Whoa.
memories. It makes me want to go out and try to skate again. Which at my age, being 36, I'm like, I'm tempted because like I've got the extra money to go buy a brand new board, but then I'll just put it on my couch and just look at it and just go, oh, I'm gonna do that later. But I'm gonna give it an A minus for nostalgia's sake. The skate scenes I think are great. Like all the stunt scenes where people
Yeah,
actually
all the old
skating, all the
skateboards,
old
the
skateboards
wider
and all that
wheels.
stuff. I mean, I gotta
I
kick out
mean,
of
we
seeing
didn't
that
even
again.
mention the special skateboard his friend gives him at the end.
The big metal skateboard, which I
It's
wanted when I
like
was younger.
it doesn't even have grip tape on it. It has like diamond plate.
Yes, it's like they cut it out of that metal you see like on the like
On floors of like factories
yeah
or
factory
like.
floors, or like if you watch the WWE, like the stuff that the stairs are made out of, that metal with the little diamond pattern on it, and like super tight trucks, and
Yeah,
it's
and
black and
black
silver.
wheels that help you go faster. It's like they must have really been trying to sell that skateboard like in stores and shit.
I
So
never
like,
saw it. I
I
never
don't
saw
remember
the
seeing it either,
skateboard
but I'm
once.
sure they probably manufactured a bunch and the kids were like,
I
I'm all over
gotta
it.
have it.
But I definitely can't go A minus. I'm not gonna totally trash it. I mean, I didn't have as fond memories of this movie. I mean, evident. I barely remembered it. But the highest I can give is like B minus. I mean, it wasn't anything like I even mildly remembered. So
All right, so we'll
B
say,
minus is the highest I'd give it.
so we'll say for an average for Rad would be a B,
Like a B, yeah.
and a average for Gleaming the Cubes be
Like
like a another B, I
a B pretty
guess,
much,
another
yeah.
B. So you got two B movies. I would say that I like Gleaming the Cube more than Rad, and Hermano
And
is
we
liking.
flip-flop. I'm liking Rad more than Gleaming the Cube.
So that's our review of the first time rewatchers, since we have seen these movies when we were younger and going back to them now.
And Gleaming the Cube for me felt like I was almost watching it for the first time
Yeah,
because
it's been a while.
I really didn't remember a lot of
I mean, the one part
the
I remember
plot
was, remember the
points.
one part I remember saying was like, I'm watching the scene where he's talking to his girlfriend. I'm like, this is the part where he talks about like, people being cynical. I even said it to you, I'm like, this is the Big Mac scene where he talks about Big
Yeah,
Macs.
you remember in specific scenes, and I'm like, I don't remember this at all. Like, but whatever, I didn't think it was horrible. I didn't have as fond memories of it as Wally did.
So if you're at our age and you want to go back in time a little bit and kind of re-enjoy re-enjoy some of the movies you maybe seen when you were younger,
Yeah,
we can recommend them.
I'd recommend them
We
both.
can recommend
Yeah,
them both. And if and if you're one of our younger audience who may not have been born yet or may have been like too young to remember, go back and check these out and you can see where we're coming
what
from.
your parents were watching back in the
Exactly. So yeah, that's our review for this week. You can find us on Facebook at First Time Watchers Podcast. You can also email us, and we really appreciate some emails, at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter at 1sttimewatchers@twitter.com. Hermano, what about
Yes,
our Tumblr page?
we have a Tumblr page. You can follow us on there. It's firsttimewatchers.tumblr.com.
So that's our episode this week of First Time Watchers rewatching. We'll tune in next week where we will be reviewing The Expendables 2.
Yes.
And I've just also noticed too, while we're looking through IMDb earlier, there's a rumored Expendables 3. But first, we'll get to 2, and we'll be looking forward to that. It'll be the return of Tim back from his vacation.
Tim will be back.
So you'll have all three of us for your listening pleasure again. Once upon a time, that was the First Time Watchers podcast because we like to watch.